Good morning. Got a question for you. How many of you are scared of the dark? It's okay. We're in a safe environment. And you can admit you're adults, but anybody scared of the dark? I heard of a man that said, when I was just a boy, I was scared of the dark. But now that I'm an adult, when I get the electric bill, I'm scared of the light. But being in the dark sometimes is just no fun. Maybe at work, you're in the dark. You're uncertain about what's corporate doing, what decisions are they making, how's that going to affect me, or my boss really doesn't include me in a lot of things, and I wonder what he's thinking, and am I secure in my job? We're in the dark. We can be in the dark in relationships. Maybe something estranged with a family member, and you're just in the dark. It's got you down, or maybe with a spouse, you're just in a dark time, you're in a dark moment, and you're trying to figure these things out, and that's a place we really don't like and want to be. You can be in a dark place in your health concerns, and you just feel like you're in the dark. You don't quite understand what's going on or why and what the end result's going to be, and, well, you just find yourself in the darkness, and we don't like to find ourselves in those places. One of the worst places to be is in the dark. If you've ever been in a cave, take you on a cave tour, and the guide gets to a certain point where you're so far back in the cave that natural light can't reach, only artificial light, and what do? They shut off the lights. And you sit there, you can wave your hand in front of your face. There's no way that you could see your hand. It's an eerie feeling when you can see absolutely nothing at all but darkness. That's no place to be. Makes me think back this past week, those people in West Virginia that went into that mine that they shouldn't have. Probably pretty dark, probably pretty scary to spend a few days in the dark. Living in the dark is no place to be. When you're in the dark, what do you need? You need a light. And that's the refreshing message of Christmas. The Bible tells us that there were those who walked in the darkness but now have seen a great light. That's the refreshing message. That we live in a dark world, but a great light from God came to dispel that darkness. It's terrific news. That if God wouldn't have been willing to send His Son, the light of the world, that we would continually and still be living in darkness. And there would be absolutely nothing you or I could do to take away the darkness of our lives. And so we celebrate this Christmas. We try to avoid darkness, and the best way to do that is to use light. And as dark as it seems today, it was just as dark at the time that Jesus came. In John chapter 1, John describes the coming of Jesus differently than Matthew and Luke, who give us that account of the angel coming to Mary and Joseph and the following story that we're all very familiar with. John takes a different angle at this. He takes the approach to introduce Jesus as a light that came to the darkness. For us to have a full grasp of how dark this world is, and that something had to be done to change this, and it was accomplished through the coming of Jesus Christ. This time of the year, we love lights, right? People string lights up on their houses. They string lights up in the house on Christmas trees. We go to light displays. Last night on TV, they were having this thing where they were traveling different cities. It was this huge light competition. And some people, there were some people up near Chicago that lit up their house and had all these blow-ups. I mean, for just a normal person, just their home, it's just incredible how many lights that they strung up and all the things they did to try to bring Christmas cheer to all those that wanted to come by and see the lights. But this time of the year, we use lights. They represent this Christmas season. But I also think this time of the year, we remember that light that came into the world. Perhaps we are so enthralled with lights this time of the year is because inside of each and every person, they long to fill that with something. In this Christmas season, we see lights, we see artificial lights, but we also celebrate that life that was born, Jesus Christ, the light of the world that came into our world to take away the darkness. God shined into our darkness so that you and I can live here and still have hope. Because if Christ would have not come, if that great light would have not come into the world, we could certainly still live here, but we would have no hope. This life would seem meaningless. There would be no hope to what would become of us after we die. But because of this light, this great light that came into the world, it allows us to live in this dark-filled world with hope because of the light of Jesus that shines on us. And one day, God will do away with all darkness. One day, God will do away with all darkness, and He will create what is something that we can't imagine in our eternal home in heaven, where there will be no sun, there will be no moon, there will only be the presence of God radiating light for everyone. And we will no longer live in the dark. But until then, we live between the light and the darkness. We're in between. We are residents of this earth, purposefully made for eternity. And we live between the light and the darkness. And each and every one of us have a role to play. God calls each and every one of us to something. And if you feel, what is my point of life? What does God want to do with me? This morning, we will uncover that God wants to use you to bring light into people's lives. God wants to use you as His vehicle to bring the light of Jesus Christ, that light that we celebrate this Christmas season, into people's lives who are filled with darkness. And they need that light of Christ into their life. And there are three truths this morning that if you believe these wholeheartedly, then God is ready and willing to use you to be a person who will bring light into someone's life this Christmas season. The first is this: God created the world. I understand this is almost the most basic Christian belief. This is our starting point. That if you believe in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. If you believe those 6 days of creation, that is your starting point. But that's what it goes back to. You first have to believe that God created the world. Why did God create the world? One reason God came to earth is to fulfill the law, to complete, to become the visible representation of God's word. Without doing this, it would not have been possible for our sins to be taken away, the darkness of our life. And so God came. John uses the word to represent Jesus as God with us. In John chapter 1, look there with me in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And so it takes us back, John does, to the beginning of time, with the simple fact that God created all that we understand and know. And the darkness will never be a match for the light. Just the smallest flicker of a candle can illuminate the darkest room. In this dark world that we live in, that has been created, God has sent the light. And God's creation is you and I. It's us. It's people created in the image of God. And there are a lot of darkness that surrounds us. When you consider what we see on a daily basis through the news cycle, all the different things that are going on throughout the world, we consider just in our own communities in central Illinois, all of the things that go on that we certainly understand that they represent darkness. God allows this to be a part of this earth, but He did something to defeat that. And He accomplished this through His Son, Jesus Christ. We find darkness in our life, but we can find light in Christ. And if God had not set this plan from the beginning of His creation, we today would still be living in a darkness, a clouded darkness of sin that we couldn't do anything about ourselves. And so if you truly believe that God created everything, that's a starting point, so that you can be a person that points people to the light. The second is this: God loves the world. Perhaps the most famous verse in all Scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. A great promise. And this shows God's love, the extent of his love for us. God sees a struggling world. God sees a darkened world because of sin. And he allows these things to happen, but he did something about it through his Son. So he sent the light. He turned on the light switch, so to speak. He dispelled the darkness. And so we praise him this time of year as we celebrate Christmas, that great light representing the extent of God's love. The greatest gift, so to speak, that could be given was this light that John describes. And through Jesus, his light frees us from our sin. It allows our clouded vision of who we are to be illuminated so we can come to realize the gravity of our sin, that we need Christ in our life. Look at John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so John is recalling what he had experienced up until this point, that when Christ came to the world, this great light, the Word, God's Son, there were those who rejected him, but there were those who received him. And for the individual, for each person, it's simply your responsibility to receive him. It's your choice. Whether you choose to accept the light of the world that was sent into this world that dispels the darkness, the sin of our life, it's your choice. It's your decision. But one thing you need to understand is, without receiving Christ, you don't get the benefits that Jesus provides. That won't happen unless you make him your Savior. I want you to illustrate this, I want you to imagine, after church one Sunday, I'm standing out in the lobby, and you come walking my direction, and I'm standing there holding a beautifully wrapped Christmas present with a beautiful bow right on top. And as you approach me, I have a big smile on my face, and you come right up to me, and I tell you, I have a gift for you. And you don't have a clue what's inside this beautifully wrapped package with the nice bow on top. You have no idea. But what I tell you is, what's inside of this gift is the greatest gift that you could ever open. It's the most important, necessary gift that you need this Christmas season. And I tell you, here it is. I hope you like it. And I kind of have the expectation that you'll open it right then and there. And you tell me, well, I've got dinner plans and I got to get out to the car and get down the road. I'll put it in the back seat. When I get home, I'll open it. Okay. All right. Well, I hope you enjoy it because you're going to love it. A week later, you come to church. I come over to you and I shake your hand and you kind of don't say anything. And I ask, well, what'd you think? And you kind of look at me a little funny. Oh, yeah, the gift, the present. You know, I really appreciate that you gave me that present, and it's the most important present I think I've got at home. I set it by the Christmas tree. It's set aside from all the other gifts, and I've told my family that Dave gave me this wonderful gift, and I'm going to get to it. I'm going to open it. Oh, okay. Well, I really think you're going to like it. 2 months pass. I haven't seen you at all. We're out at Pizza Man enjoying some lunch, and I see you across the room, and we make eye contact, and I make my way over to you, and I just know within myself that you've been enjoying the gift, that you've opened it, and you've been telling everyone about it, and when I get over to you, we kind of make some small talk, and finally I ask, well, do you like it? And you kind of look at me a little funny, like you just don't have a clue what I'm talking about, and I say, the gift, remember I gave you a few months ago? Oh, the gift. You know, this Christmas season has been so busy. You know how December can be. And, well, it's still by the Christmas tree. I've been telling people that Dave gave me this wonderful gift. He didn't give it to anybody else, but just me. Oh. And I walk away from the conversation and tell you, well, one day I hope you open it. You know, a gift isn't a gift unless you receive it. And a gift's not a gift unless you open it. The greatest gift that's ever been given was the light of the world, John tells us. And at the time of Jesus, and it's true today, there are those who receive that light, but there were those who denied that light. We have to make a choice. Take the time, as the wise men did, to seek out Jesus and to fall to your knees and choose that my life will be about worshiping the Son of God. It's your choice. It's your decision. It's your choice. It's your decision to embrace Jesus with your life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We sometimes gloss over the fact that we've been adopted as sons and daughters of the Creator of this universe when we receive his Son, that great gift, that light of the world. How important that is. Because when we become a part of the family of God, there are benefits to being an heir. Just a few. In Philippians 4, it tells us that you'll receive a peace that surpasses all understanding. Ephesians 2 talks about how God showers us with his grace continually. John 3:16, the belief and the understanding and the promise of eternal life. That's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the benefits of an heir of God. And when the family of God comes together, we can overcome the darkness because we have the power of Christ through us. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, you might remember that Jesus told the people, "You are the light of the world." So which one is it? Is God the light of the world? Is his Son Jesus the light of the world? Or is it us? It's both. It's the light of Christ that shines through us into a dark world that makes a world of difference. Especially this time of the year, when on the forefront of people's minds is Christmas. And take advantage of that to shine the light into people's lives. When it comes to light, one of two things will happen. You're either going to absorb light or you're going to reflect light. And you might know people in your life who absorb light. The spotlight's always got to be on them. It's always got to be about them. They want all the attention. They're not reflecting any light, but everything focuses towards them. That's kind of what they live for. That's what people see of them. That's what they portray. They absorb all the light they can. But for the Christian, we're called to reflect the light. That no, it's not about me, but it's all about Christ. You have this belief in your heart that God loves the world and he wants to use you to be an individual who reflects the light of Christ, this great light that came into the world. Choose to be a reflector of God's light, not someone who just absorbs. And a thought is this: light only serves its purpose in the dark. If I had a flashlight right now and clicked it on and shined it at everyone in this room, it wouldn't hurt your eyes. It hardly would show up because it's lit up in here. And so that's true of the Christian. We come together like-minded to worship, but then we leave these doors and go into a world filled with darkness, what we call sin. And the Christian that shines light is to shine light into the dark. So as a Christian, we only serve our purpose if we go where the darkness is. That we don't avoid the darkness, but where we go, there will be darkness, and we shine the light of Christ. We reflect his presence. And so, be a person this Christmas season who chooses to reflect the light of Christ. Find those who are in the darkness and encourage people to open that gift. Because through Christ, God is continually offering that gift to anyone who will receive it. And that third promise, or this third truth, if you believe this, then you'll be a light reflector of Christ, is that God entered the world. It's hard to understand why God would choose to take off his heavenly robe and put on the apron of a servant by coming to this earth. But he did. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came, and that makes the world of difference. I want you to think of the nicest place you've ever stayed at, maybe a hotel or somebody else's home. I don't know what that is for you. Think of the nicest place you've ever been able to stay at. And imagine that you were able to stay there for eternity. That was your eternal home. But then one day you choose to leave that beautiful place that you were staying at to go live under an overpass. This comparison is a little lacking, but it's about the only thing I can think of. That Christ left heaven, where, as we understand what heaven will be like, a place that is perfect. He came and put on the skin of a human being and endured the things that you and I endure because he loved us so much. This is unconditional love at its greatest. Besides him laying down his life on the cross, Christ coming to this earth the way that he did is unconditional love at its greatest. And in order for the light to come into this world, he was willing to come physically, both God and man, into the darkness. And what that tells us is that God chose to become approachable, compassionate, relevant. He understands who we are and what we go through because of what his Son did. He came. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." That's what Jesus did for you and for me. I want to close this morning with the story. This is a fictitious story, but it brings home a point for us. There was a family, a husband and wife, and a couple of children. The pressures of being a wife and a mother had grown very heavy for the wife. One morning, the husband woke up to find a note on the end table in the bedroom that she was leaving. That she'd left, she needed some time to herself. She needed to think about things. The husband didn't try to chase her down, but he waited several hours till later in the day, and he tried calling her phone, and she didn't answer. But the next day, he called, and she answered her phone, asking, where are you? Why did you leave? And she wouldn't reveal much information. He could hear subtle sobs from her on the phone. She said she was just overwhelmed and she needed some time. And the husband told his wife, "Well, we love you, we miss you, we want you to come home." A week passed by. He hadn't heard anything. He tried calling again and he got the same response. Christmas was coming closer, and another few weeks had passed by, and he was growing anxious, and so he hired a private detective to try to find his wife because he could not find or locate where she was. Well, after a short time, the private investigator found her and got a hold of the husband. She was in Las Vegas in a low-rent hotel. And so the husband made his way to go find his wife. He got to the hotel, and he walked to the door. His wife was sitting on the edge of a lumpy old mattress in that cheap hotel, about as lonely as she's ever been. And then she heard a knock, knock, knock. And then she heard it louder and more persistent. And she made her way over to the window, pulled the curtain back, and saw her husband standing there. She slid back the chain, unlocked the deadbolt, and fell into her husband's arms. They embraced for a few moments. They wept a few tears. And he looked at his wife and said, "We miss you. We love you. Will you come home?" It didn't take long that she started packing the few items that she had in her suitcase, and they got in the car and they headed home. Christmas was over. The Christmas tree was back in the attic. The kids were back in school. And one day the husband asked his wife, "Why, after all those times I pleaded for you to come home, why didn't you?" And she replies, "Well, you told me you loved me, and you told me that you needed me. Those were just words until you came." 2,000 years ago, the light of the world, God's one and only Son, came. God didn't just tell us how much He loves us, but He proved it by the sending of His Son. This great light that we celebrate this Christmas season, I hope it doesn't fall on deaf ears in this room this morning, the importance of the Christian being the type of person who shines the light of Christ into the darkness this Christmas season. I'm sure many of you know folks that are in your family, in your friends, in your social circle, or who you work with, that live in the darkness, and how you have the responsibility and the power through Christ to reflect some light this Christmas season. This morning we sing a song of invitation, offering you the opportunity to receive what John said many wouldn't, but some have, to receive the light of the world, God's only Son, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that decision this morning, we welcome you to make that decision. And remember, this decision doesn't always have to happen on a Sunday morning. It can happen at any time. The offer is always available. God is always offering that gift for you to receive and open. If you've already made that decision this morning, as we sing our song together, as we worship once more, acknowledge through the song that we're going to sing that you believe the things that we've talked about this morning. Let's stand and let's sing. With us this morning, not to embarrass her, but Shirley Gross is with us this morning. Great to have you with us again this morning, Shirley. Hope you have a wonderful week. Don't forget about all the things coming up in the bulletin, a lot of activity going on around the church. If you would, we'll pray and have our closing song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place this morning to worship. I pray as we leave these doors that we are reminded of the light that came into this world and that Christ is not the only light. Father, those who have placed their faith in Christ, who are followers of your Son, because of that fact, we shine that light. We are the light of the world as well. And Father, during this Christmas season, I pray that we can make an impact on those around us, shining the light of your Son. Father, reflecting who He is into other people's lives, that maybe that would cause something to stir within them to want to receive that special gift that only God can give through His Son. Lord, we lift up to you those on our prayer list. We'd ask that you'd continue to be with them, God, that you would comfort them, that you would direct them. And Father, we just give you praise for who you are and how you love us, especially during this season as we're reminded of how much you gave. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.